Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Justin Tyler.
Hey.
Hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth.
Booth Man.
On the ones and twos, spinning those fresh beats. I don't even know what that means. Well, guys, Comic-Con has just ended. Pete, tell us about your experience.
Oh, man, I had such a great time looking on Facebook at everybody having a great time.
Yeah, you saw a lot of cosplayers. It's funny, you weren't at the show last week, but your slippers showed up by themselves.
Well, they're Punisher slippers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of how you're dressed, how are you dressed?
Hey, it's the summer, dude. You know
I know. Slippers with socks, shorts,
yeah, t-shirt. I woke up, I rolled out of bed, I came here. What do you want from me?
Great, classic. Where's your jacket, your Benchmark jacket?
Because we got that show at Nerdist, took that first check, and I cleaned that jacket.
What?
That's right.
Everyone's excited.
Big time. Big time.
Wow, that's what I call earmarking some dollars for the one dry cleaning. Let me give you some quarters after the show to clean the rest of your clothing. Let's move on and bring out our guest.
Oh, yeah. Was that a ribbing? What was that?
Ribbing? Yeah, delicate ribbing. Honestly, though, clean your clothes. Let's welcome on our guests. Please welcome to the stage Jeff Newell, Brian Heater, and Vivek Tiwari.
Yeah, welcome, gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Grab a microphone. Hang out.
Oh, man. I just pronounced everyone's name correctly. We're batting 1,000.
Yeah, Brian's usually a second timer.
I know. Brain Hater is what I was going to say. All right, guys, thanks for coming out and doing the show here on this hot summer night.
Can I say, as far as sacrifices go, that our dumplings literally just arrived.
Yo,
so we're forgoing our $4 dumplings.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, the dumplings for the guests just arrived to give you a little
window.
It's exciting. We are surrounded by dumplings. We provide a full buffet for all of our guests.
Don't say that, because then people who've been here before and didn't get dumplings are going to be upset.
I know, they're going to be very mad.
Retroactive dumplings, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here tonight.
Retroactive.
You seem a little forlorn.
We're like a strip club. We provide sort of mediocre food for everyone to show up.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going with that.
That's the only way we're like a strip club.
Okay, good. That makes sense.
So let's talk about some stuff. Brian, we'll start with you because you are closest. You took Jeff's seat, and I'm sure he's just boiling about it.
Oh, I didn't know. Were we assigned seating?
No, it's fine. Brian,
it's the monkey in the middle.
Brian, you just, you're working on a bunch of stuff at Boing Boing, very popular.
Hello.
True. You guys couldn't afford more mic slack?
Huh? No, we're not cutting any slack.
I'm closer to the end. I'm doing some freelance stuff over there. I've got a column for them called Comics Rack. That's a monthly comics thing I'm doing. And now I've got a new podcast interviewing some people about stuff.
Tell us about the podcast.
I just had Douglas Rushkoff was on.
Tell us the name of it.
Oh,
and all that.
It's called RIYL.
Mm-hmm. Which stands for?
Which dates back to anybody who's ever done college radio knows the name. It's Recommended If You Like. It's a little thing you write on the white tab to tell people that this album sounds like Nirvana.
Nice. College radio?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You've heard of it.
He's big into college radio.
I used to have a college
radio
show.
He discovered REM back in the day. Yeah, a little known fact.
I used to do college radio.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was your show? What was it called?
It was the funk and hip-hop show.
What kind of music did you play?
Funk and hip-hop.
Nice. And what hour was it on?
It was on from 11 p.m. till 1 p.m.
I did a show Tuesday.
Nope. 1 a.m.
It was the longest show on the station.
Yeah. I did a show Tuesday nights from, I think, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Nice.
It was shitty. It was terrible. We had
actually call it. It was shitty. Because
we had
of
one caller in the whole time we did it. And they were like, oh, sorry. And then they hung up. So I get it. I get you. So anyway, you've had some great guests on the show. You had Mark Maron.
Yeah, we had Maron. We've got God, who's coming up? We've got Dave Allen from Gang of Four is coming up. We've got Scott Aukerman is coming up.
Oh, very
all
nice.
Sorts of great people.
A lot of
stay tuned.
That's what I call podcast networking right there. And so how is this, your column about comics, what's the take? Are you just reviewing comics? Are you taking them down a peg?
It's generally positive towards comics as a medium.
Great.
No, it's monthly, so I just get to write about stuff I like. That's kind of the whole,
nice.
That's the thing of Boing Boing.
Yeah.
It's stuff on the internet.
Stay positive. And you're also bonding rabbits, you mentioned earlier. Could you tell us what that means?
Yes, please.
Is that like bail bonds or James bonds?
Are you fusing
these rabbits are in a lot of shit right now.
Yeah. You got to get them out. No, you're making rabbits have sex?
No,
or?
No. Inactive,
but you're doing something creepy,
inactive
though, right?
Genitalia. Yeah, we're forcing them to love each other.
Inactive genitalia.
Yeah. It's all been removed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
More on that more after on the show.
Later, yeah. No, what are you? You have rabbits as pets?
I adopted a second rabbit, so we're forcing them to love each other. They're vicious little fuckers.
How do you do that?
You put them in a neutral territory. You hang out in a bathtub for about half an hour each
Wait,
day.
Wait, you hang out in the bathtub just by yourself? Or?
Yeah. Well, you need some time to give
Side
a think
two
on
of Led
it.
Zeppelin 4.
Yeah. It all syncs
There's
up.
A lot of retrospection involved and just thinking about how you got to that point in your life.
You're spending rabbits, like 12 hours a day.
Do they not immediately get along? Is that a thing? Yeah, is that a thing with rabbits?
Like people?
Yeah, we're spending I'd say about 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day.
I spent that amount of time, which was Pete's radio show actually, in a bathtub when we bonded originally. It was
that never happened.
It took a lot. We were real bitey, and both and we also have inactive genitalia, so it makes a lot of sense.
Oh my God.
Jeff, let's move on and talk to you now that we've got any. And feel free to bring up any sort of pet sexuality you want to when we get to you as we go down the line. So you're doing a ton of stuff, as per usual. You've been a guest on the show, I don't know, upwards of 10 times.
Baker's dozen.
A baker's dozen or so.
A baker's dozen.
What are you working on now? Let me throw something out there. Manga entertainment.
I do PR and social media work. I'm lucky enough that I get to work with things that I really enjoy absorbing and immersing myself into, including recently Manga Entertainment's YouTube channel, youtube.com/mangaentertainment,
where
I'm working with a crew of young anime experts, and we're making actually creating videos to promote the channel by using, like, you know, the old Astro Boy cartoons?
Certainly.
Oh, so yeah. I have my crack team of editors. I have Jesse and Mary, and we made Astro Boy's top villains and Astro Boy's top powers. And it's a lot of fun going into these things. You know, I'm a comic, said I was never as into the anime, but delving into this Astro Boy's kind of, he's kind of like a little cutie.
Yeah.
As far as robots go. You
can yeah, no.
Inactive genitalia also.
Good point. Yep. That's called a theme of a show all of a sudden. Yeah. You also got, so you're moving from very older technology into, you got an iPad, maybe like recently.
Yes, I'm very, very excited about my iPad, because I've always been, comics should be print, and then I'm really enjoying my new iPad.
You were like, fuck that last statement I made.
And my latest acquisition on the iPad, which I'm thrilled, is the original 23 issues of Mad Magazine, all the Harvey Kurtzman issues.
Oh, nice.
One of my first purchases was I just bought all 23 of those, and it's a real treat.
How are those topical jokes maintaining themselves?
they say for Schlugener. Every time they say for Schlugener, for Schlugener. For Schlugener.
Can you still fold over the last page to reveal?
It's harder on the iPad.
Yeah. It's harder to fold over the iPad.
You need three iPads.
Yeah. you need three iPads.
Smash them together.
That shouldn't be hard, though.
Yeah, it should be a little squeeze.
Yeah, the squeeze. You would like to.
Can you squeeze? Can you squeeze it to fold over?
You can squeeze it.
You can squeeze it. Okay, great. And you recently.
I don't believe him.
Yeah, no, he's clearly lying. He's a real squeezer, though.
Here come the squeeze master.
And you recently got engaged in a sort of cool / dorky way.
Ooh, do tell.
My fiance, MC Schlepper, is out in the audience.
MC Schlepper?
MC Schlepper's a code name.
Oh, cool.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's not her given name?
Little
baby MC?
I'm sometimes called Jafari because I do little reggae music.
Yeah, we'll edit in that reggae thing right after.
I do that. And so as a proposal, I worked with Joseph Remnant, who drew Harvey Pekar's Cleveland. As you may know from previous episodes of Comic Book Club, I worked with the great Harvey Pekar
yes, indeed.
And Joseph. And so
I believe we had Harvey call into the show.
We
on
did
have
yeah,
Harvey,
that was amazing.
The late, great
That was an amazing
The late, great Harvey Pekar called into the show, yes.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful experience. So
find it in the archives.
I had I wrote a comic, 12 panels of moments from our relationship, and the 12th panel, so to speak, was the punchline. You know, the real joke, saying, will you...
So do you handed her the comic, and then did you go right to the knee, or did you like want to let her read it?
Yeah, did you
while?
Wait until she read it? Like,
actually,
how
does it work? As long as one of us was on the knee, you know, believe it or not, the drawn version of me went on the knee, but I had so many things to do with a ring in my left pocket and swiping the iPad so I could show the report. At that moment, I got a little confused.
Oh, you were lost? You got locked in the 12 panels?
My knees got locked.
Oh, shit.
It was also a fold-in, so she didn't actually know that it was a proposal until right
she
now.
Didn't know what was going on.
There's a lot of awkward Nixon references that no one understands anymore. Well, that's congratulations.
Yeah.
And where did the reggae come into that? It just...
Well, the reggae, because oddly enough, my fiance happens to be a Jew who could sling a little reggae too. So occasionally we do duets together, and it's amazing.
Yeah, like that's very nice. So how many? Not a lot of Jewish reggae stars. Are you the only two? Is that how you found each other, or
pretty much?
Yeah, you're Matis Yahu.
Well, there's Matis. Yeah, there is Matis Yahu.
It was a match made in I don't know, Rasta.
J date.
Yeah,
actually,
what?
Actually, there is a little bit of lineage. This venue, Fontana's, housed a couple of Hebanism parties. That's right. I'm an editor for Heb magazine. And Hebanism was here a couple years in a row. And the one year it wasn't was the one where I was performing and where I met my fiance.
Oh, nice. So the lesson there is get out of Fontana's and your life starts to move down there. Listeners, please don't take that to heart. Let's move on and talk to Vivek. The fifth Beatle. Yeah. Tell us about this project. This is really exciting. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'm the writer and producer of a graphic novel and forthcoming feature film called The Fifth Beatle.
Ooh.
It's based on the life of Brian Epstein, who was the Beatles' manager. The book comes out on November 19th, so just a few months away. We're very excited about it. Just got back from San Diego, where I was promoting it as much as I could. And
nice.
We're really excited. Brian was the guy that discovered the Beatles when they were playing at the Cavern Club, and they were not even the most popular band in Liverpool. No record label wanted to sign them. No one really believed in them. And he was the guy that ran around saying, the Beatles are going to be bigger than Elvis. And he was right. And it's really very inspirational what he did for the band. And sort of the emotional side of his story is that he was gay and Jewish, in addition to being from Liverpool. And in the 1960s, those were three pretty significant obstacles, to say the least. Yeah.
Hated reggae, though. Hated reggae.
He did not, and he did not do reggae.
Bigger than Elvis, though, but it turned out eventually all four of them, they wound up weighing less than Elvis.
True. Little known fact. Well, isn't the Old Testament is mostly reggae verse,
Yes, it's mostly in dub.
You have one of my favorite artists, Andrew Robinson, who's doing the book for you.
Yes. Andrew Robinson has actually fully painted the book.
It's
gorgeous. It's a really it's
and Andrew. You're not just saying that.
No, I mean, look, it's like I wish I could.
Most
paint.
People don't.
I didn't
just
do
say
the art,
fully
you know.
Painted.
Yeah. I can't paint to save my life. So it really, it's gorgeous.
Painted isn't a euphemism for anything else. It just means fully painted.
It's
gorgeous.
I'm biased because it's my book, but it really. But I didn't paint a stroke, so I can really say that it's beautiful work. And Kyle Baker actually is also doing a 7-page sequence.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
On the back of the book. And Andrew's work, as I said, fully painted. It's very painterly. You know, he captures the iconography of the faces, the wardrobe, the period, etc. And Kyle's sequence is pure vintage Kyle Baker animation and cartoon work. And it basically pays tribute to the old Beatles cartoons.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. Working with those two guys was a real joy.
Cool.
That's cool. Yeah. And you're working on a feature film, you said.
Yes, we are. We have adapted. I adapted my graphic novel script into a screenplay. The big news on the film is that we have secured the approval of the Beatles, or meaning Paul, Ringo, and the Estates, Yoko and Olivia Harrison. And we did a deal with Sony ATV, who control the music publishing, and so we have access to Beatles music for the film.
Wow, that's got to be a huge hurdle, right?
We are literally the first film about the band in history to have gotten access to their
music. That's insane.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. So the film is a reality. We are out to directors right now and enjoying a lot of interest. And it's very, very cool.
Well, that's very exciting.
Thanks.
Well, let's move on to our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
The Stack. That's what we call it.
That's what we call it. We're going to talk about some comics that came out this week and review them. First up, let's talk about a book that's been everyone's been waiting for a while, Scarlet, number 7.
Yeah, this finally came out. It's been
a while, yeah.
Yeah, I almost forgot about it. It's been so long.
So you really like this book?
Yeah, I like it because it's, you know, it's making some statements. It's saying, fuck the police. You know, it's cool. It's Bendis kind of being a little bit more edgy than, you know, he normally is.
So tell us about the book. What happens in it?
Well, Scarlet is the name of this heroine who she is constantly trying to prove that the police
are
bad and
also
corrupt.
Fuck them.
And yeah.
She says fuck the police.
Yeah.
And you hate the police, Pete.
I do. I'm not a big fan.
Of all police.
Well, I can't say that. I mean, I've met some guys who, like, I'm actually a cop, and I was
you
like,
just
oh.
hate the band, the police. Right?
Oh, yeah, I think that also.
That's really.
And they're not actually licensed law.
I find you can't really do blanket statements because you will meet a nice cop.
You think so?
Eventually, you will.
Eventually.
If you meet 800, there might be one.
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
So, anyways, this book is really awesome. It's about somebody's trying to stick it to the man, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, this has been the art is actually excellent here. Alex Maleev, teaming up with Brian Bendis back from their the Daredevil days, was their sort of last major partnership, Alias as well. But this has been sort of delayed for quite some time, back at it, and it's very aggressive, political,
right.
It's right on the edge. Scarlet has taken some the mayor hostage. Oh, wow. This is unprecedented. We have guests eating on stage.
Yeah, they bring.
It's like, you know,
food's being delivered to them.
Yeah, you know, whenever you would go to like a fun event, like a high school dance or a wedding, even, which is important, always eat during the part where you're talking. Is the classic statement.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, any thoughts on the book? Any thoughts on the book, Jeff? true. Wisest words you've ever said. Have you been reading this, Brian?
No, I've not.
Okay, great.
Looks great.
Great.
It does.
Great news.
Has anybody said fuck the police yet?
Nope, that's a fresh statement. Jeff, what are your thoughts on the dumplings currently in your mouth?
Very flavorful.
Okay.
Moist.
What do you think about the last bite? Any teaser you're looking forward to for the next dumpling?
Well, it's
how will the dumplings sumptuous. Feel when they're collected into a trade of dumplings? Some sort of stack of dumplings?
It's buoyant, and I actually feel a buoyancy in my belly.
Listen, people have been waiting a long time for these dumplings. These dumplings have been delayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're really excited about
no
these
one
dumplings.
Likes their dumplings to be delayed.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I haven't read this yet, but I have read some of Bendis and Maleev's Daredevil, which I enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of thing that I may purchase on my new iPad.
Oh, look at you.
Great.
No.
My well
new
pronounced.
iPad.
Way to use that capital P in iPad.
Yeah. Now that I have an iPad.
So my understanding is that this is about a blind woman who uses her superpowers to fuck the police. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a sexual journey. It's like Emmanuel in a lot of ways. Let's move on and talk about our next book, Justice League of America number 6. Trinity War, part
Trinity
2 of 6.
Trinity War.
I was shitting on part 1 of this in last week's episode. This issue...
How was last week's episode?
It was great. Please, listen at home. Pete, why don't you listen on your lunch break?
I will, as soon as Albin gets around to posting it.
Very great
news.
Can you listen on your iPad?
Can you listen on your iPad? Yes,
yes
certainly.
You can listen on your iPad, Jeff.
Your iPad.
Your iPad. You can list 10 on your iPad.
Yeah.
But this issue, actually, I thought was really good. Every character is behaving like themselves in this. This is a big crossover. In the last issue, the first part one in Justice League, Superman killed Dr. Light. It was everyone's upset. But it wasn't quite him. It got a lot of negative response in the press because it's Superman just came off killing Zod and spoiler in Man of Steel, the movie, really snuck that in.
Yeah.
And then he's killing another person. It seems like a little much when no one likes that. In this issue, the consequences are dealt with in a nice way. Superman's very guilty. Batman's like, we're going to figure this out. Wonder Woman goes out and wrecks some shit.
Yeah. Because she's really upset because she cares about Superman.
Because they're dating.
Which apparently, she didn't care about Steve at all. You didn't see her get upset when her and Steve broke up.
Yeah, no.
Apparently you break up with Superman or you have issues and all of a sudden you're acting out.
Are you feeling a problem? Are you having a problem?
I'm just saying, she didn't fight for Steve at all. Where was the Steve anger?
Who's the
Wonder
Superman?
Woman?
You're clearly identifying with Steve. Who's the Superman that's fucking you over?
I don't know what you're talking about. I did really like how you were talking about how everybody's really themselves in this, and yeah. I completely agree with you. Sometimes in a bigger scope book like Justice League, you lose some voices.
Yeah.
But also what was crazy was how small Superman is in this issue, and when you hear him cough, it's like crazy. You know, and even Batman's like,
cold.
I've never heard you cough before.
Yeah.
It was really powerful, really cool.
He takes all of his vitamins. Have you guys been following this or even the larger DC Universe lately?
Not so much lately.
Okay, great. Great news. what do you have?
Did you ever, like, in elementary school, go to the library and open up a copy of National Geographic and it just opens up to that part with, like, the naked ladies in it? Because clearly it's been being read a lot.
Yes. I'll say yes tentatively.
This is the equivalent to that, is this... this weird lawnmower man, Superman.
Superman is in a sort of a 1990s virtual reality type rig.
He's playing that weird pterodactyl game from the 90s.
Can I use this?
I don't know how the National Geographic and naked ladies. I didn't.
Oh, he just wanted to talk about some.
Yeah, he just talked about how he always would go to the library.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I've been to a library.
Yeah, clearly you're clearly trying to.
I read it
someone.
For the articles.
I haven't read. This, but I might based on what you say, but I will use this to stimulate a nostalgic aside.
Okay,
ooh.
Good. Please stimulate an aside.
the first comic book that I ever, when I became a collector of comic books, it was of Justice League first. The first, I guess you could define being a collector when you buy one issue and then you get the next issue.
True, yeah, that is correct.
So I first bought Justice League when George Perez was drawing the Justice League and that.
Nice.
Wow.
That was...
nice.
I became a... And then he was also drawing the new Teen Titans at the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that hooked me on comics, actually. It was Justice League and George Perez drawing it that hooked
me. Nice. That got you, huh?
That got me.
Cool.
So should I go back and get...
The point of reviewing this is it has been sort of a not great, the other Justice League series specifically. But this issue actually was very good, I thought. It really starts to make a lot more
Hopefully
sense.
This will start to pick up from here.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Superman's developing a really bad cold in this issue.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a multi-universe crossover. Yeah. We'll see how they do with finding the cure for the Superman cold.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, we get to figure out how Pete's personal life plays out over the course of the rest of this comic.
Steve LePage.
Let's move on to our next book, Adventure Time, number 18. One of my favorite comics. This comic won at least one Eisner for best kid series, ages 8 to 12. I love this book. If you guys watch the Adventure Time TV show, very good. This book actually has... become, I like it more. This season has progressed, this book has gotten better, and the actual TV show is sort of, I feel like, plateaued a little bit. But this is still sort of in-world. It's using all of the interesting characters. The Lich is in this. There's all the stakes are really high. It's super funny at the same time. The characters are spot on. It's one of my favorite reads every time it comes
out. So this is canon? Things that happen in this world will affect the Adventure Time cartoon show?
I'm not sure if that's been stated, but they use all of the things that are in the current mythology. And even if this doesn't mean anything in the show, this feels like it means more. Because they're dealing with the repercussions of a lot of the mythological points, the Lich being the big villain, and all of the different things that Finn and Jake are going through. The Ice King's here, and he deal with his history a little bit. Like, it's just great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is just a really fun, tripped out. Even though it's for kids, it's still such an enjoyable comic, an enjoyable read. And they do a great job of like keeping it hilarious and fresh and enjoyable for everybody.
Yeah, I was at the Eisners in San Diego just a few days ago, and the applause was uproarious for Adventure Time when they won. And that doesn't happen often for anything at the Eisners.
Yeah, seriously.
You know,
They booed Chris Ware. It was really nasty.
Yeah, get off the stage.
Well, I think people were getting a little tired of the Chris Ware.
You've
show
won too
by
many.
The end,
cheer
you know?
Up.
It was sort of like, and the Eisner for best book not written by Chris Ware. You know, but Adventure Time, it's, you know, and the fact that it's a kid's book is remarkable. Yeah. So many people can get that so excited about a kid's
book.
But
it's very it's smart. Very cool. It's super smartly written.
Yeah, it's a great book.
How were the rest of the Eisners? Was it a...
They were, I mean, you know, it was actually like my first time attending the Eisners, and I had a ball. I thought it was awesome.
Cool.
You know,
was it your first time at the con?
No, I've been going to the con for years.
But you were like, fuck the Eisners.
Never went to the Eisners before.
Did you dress up?
What's that? I'm not really a dress-up kind of guy.
Never.
Okay. Yeah, I dress up in my heart.
Oh wow!
How about that?
Interesting.
That's adorable.
I'm the same way.
I'm a hardcore fanboy, but not with the clothes.
Sounds like a country song.
On the inside, you know.
I dress up in my heart. Excuse me, I just farted, and let's all.
What?
Huh?
There goes your country career.
Yeah.
There it went.
Here we go. Oh, that's gone?
Yeah, it's done.
Oh well. Okay. Another door closes. awesome.
That's cool.
That's it for the stack, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
great.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you individually.
I know
for
everyone's currently
eating
dumplings, so it's hard to have both hands free.
Yep.
You might not hear applause, but you hear the smashing together of two tiny pieces of dumpling skin. Let's move on to our next section, which is our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's our audience questions. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Boothman.
Boothman!
That's what I call rock and roll.
I didn't mean for that to happen. I'm sorry.
Sure, you didn't.
Good. Sure, I did.
That's kind of sad because you're at the controls. So
yeah, that means I can turn your mic off.
Oh wow, real getting rebellion on all fronts. Let's hear some questions.
Sure. What is your favorite Beatles deep cut? And then in parentheses, deep cuts only.
Ooh,
great question.
Yeah.
Don't you say there comes the sun. Don't you say it.
Yeah, your favorite Beatles deep cut,
Include album tracks, or is this only B-sides and demos?
No, I think album tracks that are deep cuts.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
Deep cuts, man.
A deep cut is just, like, not a single, basically.
Good question. I guess that I would have to ask what a deep cut is, really, for a band like the Beatles. Is Her Majesty a deep cut?
There are a ton of songs that
are
about Her Majesty,
but
is that a deep cut?
That's a deep cut.
What
is a deep cut? Her Majesty?
Literally the shortest Beatles song.
Yeah, shortest Beatles song ever.
It's a deep cut.
Still one of the best.
Definitely a deep cut.
How about
I mean, we're not an authority on deciding
what
a deep cut is.
No, I mean, you know, part of what I think is so amazing about the Beatles is, like, it's pretty hard. I mean, when I think deep cut, you think of songs that are, you know, genuinely obscure. And I think it's pretty hard to pick a Beatles song that's genuinely obscure. It's kind of what was so amazing about them as musicians.
Right.
Is, you know.
But there are certainly less popular ones that weren't... So that's what, like, Her Majesty, I think.
Yeah, Her Majesty might be the only song that might be obscure on that entire album.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's like, okay, Here Comes the Sun, you know.
Yeah.
That's not a deep cut, but it's a George track at a peak period in their career where George didn't have a lot of tracks.
Well, you're a hard guy to ask this question because you know a lot about it.
You know,
a lot
of,
when you so you're like there are deep no cut. Deep cuts in the Beatles.
I would say they are all deep cuts.
We can't say the words deep cuts anymore on the show. We said it too many times.
Too many times.
We used up our number of word times saying words.
So let's talk more about medium cuts.
Yeah. What about deep dish cuts?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, what about deep dish pieces?
I'd say honey pie.
Honey pie? Yeah.
Honey pie's great.
I think that counts as a deep cut.
Piggies?
Huh?
Piggies?
Piggies, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like songs that no one really likes to listen to.
Yeah.
Like Piggies.
Oh, terrible songs.
Yeah,
is that what
you know, bad Beatles songs.
Terrible Beatles songs.
What's the
Revolution
worst,
number 9?
What's the worst Beatles
I couldn't
song?
Say
the worst Beatles song?
Yeah.
Wow. Octopus's Garden.
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
Why, you don't like because it's not mature enough for you? Because there's no weird...
Can octopuses tend gardens? There's a lot of unanswered questions.
Oh, you don't like the logic?
There's a lot of unanswered questions in that song.
Yeah, oh, cool.
It's continuity errors.
Yeah, I know. It's serious.
Rife with continuity errors. That's
all. It's fucked up.
You're probably not an Adventure Time fan either.
They rebooted the continuity for that song. It's an octopus-heavy universe they're dealing
Earth
with.
Earth 2 octopus.
It's really dark, the Octopus's Garden.
Yeah, much darker. The octopus uses 8 tentacles to murder 8 different heroes. Murder the entire Justice League. So you're going with Honey Pie.
That's a good choice. I like it.
Deep cut.
I like For You Blue, a late period George Harrison song. Kind of bloozy off of Let It Be.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
It counts as a deep cut because I don't even know that song. Pete?
I don't know Beatles.
You don't know any Beatles?
So they're all deep cuts for you.
They're all deep cuts.
I love it.
Oh, you should listen to them. You should try them out.
You should check out this band.
Let's make a mix
they're
for
deep
Pete.
Cuts.
Yeah. Deep cuts.
You should just stop saying.
Now you're just saying.
Yeah.
I think the song, You Know My Name, Look Up the Number.
Good choice.
That's a deep cut. Yeah. What's that? All right, nice. Cool. Yeah, we got one guy the hippie in the back just woke up and
That's a past master shit right there.
He's like, yeah.
That's the one. Great. Any Beatles song that full on just hate? Let's go down the line real quick.
There really isn't.
You like all of them?
I do. I don't love Revolution Number 9, but I can't say I hate it either.
Okay. Well, okay.
But
I actually skipped back in the USSR and I was listening to the White Album. For some reason, I listened to it enough. It's a little, I don't know.
You're over back in the USSR.
I'm over back in the USSR.
Fair point. Octopus's Garden.
Michelle's also pretty bad.
Oh, that's nice. Why, you don't speak French?
Do you have a heart?
You're heartless, right. Clearly.
It could be my lack of heart.
Yeah, that's what it is. Pete? You hate them all too, right?
Yellow Submarine.
So you don't have one that you like.
Wow.
But you definitely have one that you hate.
Well, only reason I say that is that's the one song that I know.
So you choose to hate it.
Love hate relationship.
Rather than love it.
Well, you know, you hear it a lot.
Yeah.
So
can I amend my answer?
Sure.
Don't Pass Me By.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Hate
yeah.
Don't pass that's me a bad by. One.
That's a bad true. One.
I'm
mean,
just picking on Ringo today. I apologize.
Yeah, you hate Ringo. That's fine. No one likes Ringo. Right?
Somebody's
no one
like
people like yes, the
Ringo.
Beatles
Ringo was very popular actually when the Beatles were an active.
No, I think you mean to say he's still alive.
What's that?
I think you mean to say he's just still alive.
Even death doesn't want him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on. Come on,
Ringo
guys.
Slam. We always have one Ringo slam on every episode of Comic.
He's just to let you guys know, he's probably like a billionaire, so.
He's a billionaire? Yeah. Well, money is not everything. Okay. We could shit on Ringo from our poor seats here.
Yeah, exactly. He could potentially pay us a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, to not shit on him or to
shit on him.
I doubt he would do that. Oh, what?
What just
That's
happened?
A weird reveal about Ringo. Yeah, he's into real scatological stuff. Okay, whoever asked that question, we have some free comics for you. It's the old hippie in the back. Makes sense. Yeah. Let's get our next question.
Vin Diesel as the Punisher, great idea or greatest?
those are the choices, great or greatest?
Great or greatest.
You're correct.
Interesting.
I'm going to say not.
So hold on a second. So this little backstory, Vin Diesel went into a sort of secret Marvel meeting, and there's a lot of hoopla about it. He's been very coyly tweeting and talking about it in interviews. No one knows what part he's playing, but he is definitely going to be doing something in an upcoming Marvel movie. The Punisher, Pete, as the Punisher slipper wearer.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, you could call me a Punisher expert if you wanted.
I wouldn't say expert.
Punisher fan. Yeah, expert's probably.
Punisher admirer.
Yeah,
One day we'll become the Punisher.
Yeah!
That's
If all things go all right.
That's not a thing. If all things go all right.
Yeah. I'm waiting on a lot of guns.
Yeah, right. I know, you're 4 days into your 5-day waiting period.
Yeah,
so
I cannot
look for that
wait.
On New Comic Day tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think that's a good choice.
You don't like Vin Diesel.
When you look at Vin Diesel, there's nothing about him that says the Punisher.
Oh, he talks very angry. He's like angry a lot.
No, I don't.
He's like, hey.
He's very top heavy.
Yeah, he's top heavy, he's top like the heavy. Punisher.
What does that mean?
He's bosomy.
He's
got girth.
He's, like, he's always like leaning over because it's very.
He probably can't walk
heavy.
Through most doors.
Do you guys think Punisher is top heavy?
Like, he's what very top heavy.
What?
He's like the opposite.
What does that even mean?
He's like the opposite of a Weeble. That's why I've always looked at the Punisher is just like when the Punisher wobbles, he fucking falls down.
No,
he falls down.
He does not.
He's like a dreidel with a skull on his chest.
Wow.
No one has ever said those words before, by the way. What are your thoughts on Vin Diesel as Punisher, or perhaps let's open it up. What role would you like Vin Diesel to play, or would you think he will play?
I heard a rumor he might be Vision.
That is a rumor. That seems like a pretty shitty move. Like,
so
Vin Diesel is not... If I was like, who else? Living, intelligent computer. Vin Diesel.
Yeah, but Vision, he doesn't show a ton of emotion. Right?
Yeah, bad actor. Let's get Vin Diesel for it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not calling Vin Diesel a bad actor, are you?
No, I'm saying, like, someone that doesn't show a lot of emotion is potentially... Listen, yeah, he is a bad actor. BT Dubs.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
You'll think about it? Okay, email us when you have an answer.
Wonder Man.
Wonder Man.
Ooh, now that makes sense.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
But will they ever include? Will they ever include Wonder Man in a Marvel movie?
When
they have the list of characters, they're dying to get into Avengers 2. What do you think Wonder Man is? Like 1,000th?
He weighed heavy in the George Perez one, which is when I first started collecting Avengers.
Really,
well.
Get off George Perez's jock for this. You're really,
he will not.
Really working.
Jeff
George
hasn't
Perez.
Read a comic since 1985. Yeah, I don't know if he told you
really
that before he came on the show.
The Perez button. Brian, any
Bane.
Bane? Like he'd be that's Ooh, a Bane? Different universe.
Yeah, it's a different...
Oh, did you say Marvel?
Well, he's... I mean, the, I thought you, he, no, he's
he went to
play...
a Marvel office
also,
to
Bane
have
was
a
just in a recent movie.
Oh, we can't do a reboot? There was a Punisher movie like 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, he's...
Listen, there was a Catwoman movie that had no bearing on the Batman universe at all.
Okay, cool.
Fucking he's... Vin Diesel can play Bane.
So let me just to encapsulate your statement. Vin Diesel's going to be playing Bane in the upcoming Marvel Bane reboot.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Great.
With Avengers Bane crossover.
That's
going to
have Catwoman ramifications.
Okay, fine. Yeah. The Thing. Okay, move
the
on.
The Thing. That's good. Actually that's a great answer.
That's a great answer.
I didn't hear you say Marvel.
Well, no, that's just what it is. He's been meeting with Marvel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can't no, I know, I know. But that's still a good answer as far as casting goes. Thank you, Statler and Waldorf.
We're trying to, yeah.
I think he could do the voice of Ultron in the upcoming Age of Ultron. Yes, yes. That would be cool. There was a rumor today, I think, that he's going to have some sort of love interest in whatever movie. He was rumoring that.
Like a floppy disk or a...
Yeah, exactly. He's going to fall in love with a sloppy disk. Great. Whoever asked that question, raise your hand. We have some free comics for you. Great. Let's move on to our next question.
How do you feel about the Batman Superman movie? Would you have rather seen Man of Steel 2 or Justice League?
How do we
know? No, feel about Batman Superman.
Well, yeah. I have a feeling we're going to see all of those things.
Yeah.
So don't worry too much about it. I think that's exciting.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when I heard they're not going to be friends.
Oh, you want them to fight?
Hell yeah, I want them to fight.
They're going to eventually be friends.
Right. Yeah. It'll be like a classic team up where they're fighting in the beginning, then they're. Then they're friends.
No, I think halfway through. Let me ask you. Do you think Superman's going to break Batman's neck in the beginning or like Batman, like halfway
I just
through?
Who's playing Batman? Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. Yep. Vin Diesel can play Bane and Batman.
There
and
you
he,
go.
Break himself.
He's I would Bane pay man. $1 million to watch that movie.
Yeah,
literally $1 million.
Wow, you have a lot of money to waste.
I have $1 million. $1,100,000.
Good. Hold on to that $100,000. Because there's probably going to be reshoots. It's Vin Diesel we're talking about.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Some of us like Vin Diesel.
I'm the president of his fan club.
Yep.
Oh, great.
I'm also the only member.
Yeah. Well, you have $1 million bankroll coming your way. Jeff, what do you think about that movie? Are you excited about that? Have you been seeing all the Marvel and DC movies? Do you see Man of Steel?
I haven't been seeing them so much.
Okay.
But Superman 2 was great, right?
Yeah.
In general, I'm a sucker for a team up. I like a good team up in general.
Yeah. I know when George Perez teamed up too.
Oh, he did a lot. He does a good team up.
He does a great team up.
That man
known for
does
drawing
a good,
hundreds
draws
of different
real
characters.
Good team
yeah,
up. Yeah, Y50, great team
yeah.
up.
Great Strabber. Team up. Yeah. Exactly. Great. Let's whoever asked that question, raise your hand and we will give you some comments.
All right.
Excellent. And you have one more question, Boothman?
What is the worst comic adaptation to movie?
Worst comic adaptation to a movie?
Oh, good question.
So many.
So many bad ones.
Yeah, there are plenty.
So the first Swamp Thing movie was no good.
Oh, but it's good fun.
Jonah Hex.
Do you remember the Swamp Thing TV
Adrian
show?
It is good fun. I'm going to go with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Okay. That movie
was
abysmal.
That's a solid.
Oh.
Even nature, even Mother Nature tried to ruin that movie.
Yeah, that's an abysmal
that movie. There was a huge flood while they were shooting it, and they had to like reshoot.
Is that
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
They lost millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, man.
And it was not so good.
Yeah.
Money they could have spent rewriting the script, I guess.
You might think so.
I'm going to go with J.D. Salinger's son as Captain America in that early direct-to-video Captain America movie.
Oh, wow.
That's deep cuts, guys.
You just blew that guy's mind. You blew his mind.
That is a deep cut. Wow, that's crazy. And it's
no wonder he never left his house, right?
Oh, shit. Slam. Literary slam. Jeff, do you have an answer?
Well, there's the...
You said Swamp Thing.
Yeah, Swamp Thing was my initial.
Oh, I was going to say, did you watch the Swamp Thing TV show?
I didn't watch the Swamp Thing TV show.
Which was pretty good. Oh, we watched that. That's a Swamp Thing expert. That's my brother over there. We used to watch the Swamp Thing TV show on USA.
Oh, I did see a little bit. That looked pretty
Sunday
good.
Sunday mornings? Is that when it was on?
Friday nights.
Yeah.
I think
we were out on the town on Friday night.
Yeah. I'm sure you weren't home every Friday night watching
night,
TV with your brother.
Show on USA. Yeah. Right.
You were just killing time till Duckman came on.
So, you know, that's fucking true. Great show. Hey, bro, you want to stay in and watch Duckman and Swamp Thing? And then stay up for Up All Night? Maybe we'll glance a nipple. Pete, what do you think? Worst adaptation?
I said Jonah Hex earlier.
Jonah Hex. Yeah. Oh, that is a great answer.
Yep.
Oh, that's sort of somber, though. Makes me so sort of sad.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Fuck.
Yep.
I was going to say the Generation X TV movie. Does anyone remember that?
I didn't see that.
Now, that's a deep cut, my friend. Yeah. Terrible, right?
I didn't watch it because
That's how bad it was.
That's how bad it was. He didn't even watch it.
Everyone's forgotten it. It's almost like it didn't
exist.
You
know, Jack Kerouac's children played all the roles.
And that's it for our audience questions.
Yeah. Who asked that last one?
Oh, you have a couple more? Well, let's reopen the audience questions real quick for two more. Who asked that last question? We can give you some free comics. Nice job. We have two more real quick.
So we had two questions that are actually the same question.
Oh, we got to ask it then.
Everybody has to answer them twice.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay. And I think you're probably going to talk about this in the next section, but what's most exciting that's been announced at Comic-Con and biggest bummer?
Most exciting and biggest bummer.
Biggest bummer.
Interesting point. Let's run down the line real quick to do that. Pete, you want to start?
We should start with the guy who was at the con.
Okay,
yeah,
Vivek.
It's funny. I mean, the truth is, I honestly spend most of my time doing Fifth Beatle stuff. I didn't really get to do a lot of the Comic-Con stuff.
You didn't hear about anything?
So you say most exciting would be your stuff?
Yes, the most exciting thing is that the Fifth Beatle will be released on November 19th. And for more information at www.fifthbeatle.com.
Nice.
Really?
Pre-orders available now on Amazon,
really
Barnes & Nobles, and IndieBound.
You're going to do the www? Really?
That's it. Yeah.
It's important.
It gives me more time to speak.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It just buys me more screen time.
Seem old.
Yeah. I mean, in truth, I really didn't hear anything that I thought was overwhelmingly exciting. To be completely honest,
you didn't hear Loki took over.
He cared. He was just busy.
You know.
But he cared.
It was busy. Yeah. Right. I like that Adventure Time won the Eisners.
Yeah. That is. I was very excited about that.
I'm interested in. I'm a big Grant Morrison fan. I know it's not widely held viewed on this panel with some folks, but I'm excited for his 18 Days, this YouTube extravaganza that he's going to be doing.
Tell everyone about it if they don't know.
I don't know too much about it. I know it's...
Isn't George Perez, George Perez is drawing that? Is that
He's drawing the... It's a video. He's doing a video series.
It's a video, and I think he's delving into... Indian mythology, and
as he might,
if Grant Morrison gets excited about it, I think that it's something that is worth checking out because you know, for him to effuse and enthusinate, well, he's probably being paid a lot to do so. But from what I read, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting sort of multimedia exploration of that mythological universe.
Yeah, he loves that myth stuff. Brian, most excited, least excited?
Brian Cranston wearing a Brian Cranston mask.
If anybody didn't follow this story, it was out today. I think it was on BuzzFeed. Brian Cranston was cosplaying as himself, walking around the Comic-Con floor, I guess terrifying people?
Yeah, well, trying to fool people and eventually making out with a mask of himself on the Breaking Bad panel.
Nice.
Yeah, that would qualify as greatest and weirdest, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think I just killed two birds with that one.
Nice one. And let's move on to our next section called The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about probably what Pete and I are excited about. So, Comic-Con, some of the bigger news is sort of movie-based. We touched on it a little bit, but the announcement that Avengers 2 is going to be called Age of Ultron, not based on the recent Brian Michael Bendis series, but Ultron is going to be the big villain. Vin Diesel, potentially the voice. One thing to talk about, see how he pushed that? No Hank Pym, the creator of Ultron.
Well, also, what's bullshit is no Thanos.
We'll see. He's probably going to show up in maybe another movie.
Well, I just think it's bullshit.
Maybe he'll just be after the credits of every Avengers movie.
Yeah, he's always like, someday I'll get them.
Yeah, it was like, Thanos.
I'll get that best boy.
Yeah.
Did you say no anus?
No, yeah, there's no anus. No, Thanos.
Oh, Thanos.
Yeah, no anus.
No anus.
What? Are you all right down there, buddy? Have another
Sorry.
Dumpling
no, he
or
just,
something.
He finished those dumplings. He's thinking about the repercussions of eating them right now.
Yeah, I just think
I think Thanos is going to be pretty prominently featured in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Well, why the fuck did you tease it at the end of Avengers then?
Yeah, why did I do that?
Yeah,
why did I do that?
Yeah, why did you do that?
I made some calls, and I was like, you know, I'd like to see.
You were like, hey, let's really get people excited about one thing and then not do that?
No,
that
they are going to do it, just not in a, just in a different movie.
Well, then don't put it at the end of one movie and then, you know what I mean?
Wait.
Very particular.
Is Thanos your Wonder Woman? Is Justin your Superman?
What?
What?
No.
Am I your...
No, you're not anything, to be clear.
We got
to
go back in the bathtub. We need to rebond. We need to rebond because it's wearing off. It's wearing off, Pete. We need to rebond. So anyway,
okay. I hope someone just somehow walks into someone listening and you're like, we got to go back to the bathtub.
Yeah. That's going to become our popular catchphrase.
Tune in right there, yeah.
Well, no Hank Pym is that's something. Is that something to be frustrated about? He created Ultron. He's not going to be at all in the movie. No one cares.
Nobody cares.
I mean, there's precedent for that in every single comic movie that's been made.
You mean getting rid of a dude like that? So it's going to be Tony Stark that builds Ultron.
What's upsetting is you try to reward comic book fans for going to see the movies. You don't want to just be like, fuck you guys. You know, you made this popular. Now we're not going to do anything to, you know.
Have you seen comic book movies before?
Yes, I have. It doesn't mean I'm okay with this shit.
Yeah. Pete's not okay with anything.
I really want to hug you right now. I feel like you're going through some shit.
I refuse. I'm in the way.
Yep.
Well, I think Hank Pym, not the most... not the hugest fan base,
but
for
still, he did. He should get some kind of something in the movie.
Well, I actually think it's pretty smart to get rid of Hank Pym. Then you have Tony Stark building Ultron. At the end of Iron Man 3, we have Tony Stark giving up on the Iron Man armor. He's going to go back. He's going to build an evil robot,
really?
And then he's going to be like, "Shit, I fucked up. Let me don the Iron Man armor again and go back into battle in Avengers 2.
Wait, just making shit for him to fight now?
I don't think, I mean, obviously he won't be like, I should make an evil robot. He'll be like, I'm going to make a nice robot.
He's really become like a bored billionaire at this point.
You think it's smart to do something that's the opposite of what the comics did?
I think it's smart to use a character that is insanely popular as the center of the biggest movie of the
instead
summer.
Of trying to introduce something that maybe might be interesting to people.
Yeah,
that
people
they
love
seen
Hank Pym. He's like, you know, was a villain. He has a series of problems. He was
I know
a,
who
his
Hank Pym is.
Say,
why not introduce somebody new?
Oh, another guy? Yeah. A totally new guy?
No, I'm saying introduce Hank Pym to the world.
They ran out of actors after the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, okay. There are no more actors in the world.
All right.
Except for...
Hank Pym, Vin Diesel.
That's what I was thinking, but when Justin
came
out. You
know, famous computer scientist Vin Diesel.
Yeah. I think you gotta hook it up. Did we plug in the computers? Did we plug in the computers, guys?
What are you doing
that
right
was,
now?
That was Vin Diesel.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Vin Diesel, man.
Wow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. That's directly lifted from
the Avengers
2
script. You didn't
say triple
X one time, so I didn't realize what you were doing.
He says that he does say triple X in every movie.
Triple X.
You got to really listen for it.
Yeah.
We had talked a little bit about Superman, Batman. The fact that they're going to be fighting the entire time. Excited? Not excited.
I doubt it's the entire time.
You don't think so?
Because as you said, it's classic team up. They're going to fight, and then they're going to get together to fight the real baddie.
Who's the villain?
At the end. I mean, I don't have no idea.
Well, I know, but guess.
I don't know.
Say Lex. Okay. Just say Lex.
Ringo Starr.
And could care less. I got to be
honest.
You
could care less?
Yeah, just that there's nothing creative.
So you will care less in the future.
I will care less in the future.
Cool.
Just doesn't. There's nothing creative about
what
that.
What if it was George Martin? Would you be into it then?
Yeah,
maybe.
Or Pete Best.
Maybe
that great
gang up to fight Pete Best.
Well, the Eggman.
Yeah, the Eggman.
Finally, maybe. Bring out the Eggman. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of negativity toward Man of Steel because of all the darkness. This is going to be the same people making it. Is it going to be
darker?
Yeah,
probably.
I hope it's literally them fighting the whole time. Like, I hope literally it's just them smashing through things for an hour and a half. That would be the comic book movie that Pete wants.
That's true. That's true. Thank you.
It is all about that. Some other comic book announcements. A new title called Amazing X-Men will have the return of Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Bam.
One of the only currently dead major X-Men. He's coming back. Excited? Jeff?
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 Bring it down.
When I first started collecting, so if I wanted to...
Great.
He was alive. He was alive.
You're right about that.
And I think it was the Dave Cockrum into Paul Smith run.
Ooh.
Which was very nice. And I always used to like to imagine what it smelled like.
Sulfur.
Brimstone, I believe.
Sulfur, yeah.
But it seemed like it wasn't exactly sulfur. There was some unique smell, and I'd really love to know what it smells like.
Wow. That's a great point. What a very visceral. So really, you're excited to have him back for the smell.
If it's a scratch and sniff.
Yeah, let's make it scratch and sniff
comic. Yeah, great. Really technologically advanced, Mr. iPad. Scratch and sniff comic. Another announcement, Wolverine Origin 2, Pete.
Yeah.
Going to get excited about that?
The first one was pretty bad.
You didn't like the first one?
Yeah.
This one written by Kieran Gillen. It's going to start with Wolverine running wild in the wilderness with wolves. And he comes across the man that would eventually become...
We're not talking about Wolverine Origins, the movie.
No.
We're talking about that famous character, Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Wolverine. Yeah, right.
I know the comic that set up his whole backstory.
Yeah, that was good.
You did like that.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this second installment?
Now that we've made it clear, I am.
Ah, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great news. The Wolverine comes out in a few days.
I know. I cannot wait. I'm really hoping it doesn't suck.
Good news. You guys going to go see that at all?
Yeah. I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's
supposed to be not a huge action effect oriented movie, and
it's supposed to be a little much smarter than the first one.
Are you still going to see it, Pete, after that assessment?
Yep.
That's the most damning review you could possibly hear. Even the reviews that in the TV spots, they're saying like, this is the movie that you've been waiting for, as if to say that last one was bullshit, right, guys?
Right. Yeah.
That's what should be the title.
That last one sucked.
Yeah.
Just like having the CEO of BP come out and just apologize for the previous movie.
I would like to say at the con, it was pretty cool that Loki came. I thought that was like a really cool moment that like, I don't know. I get excited when actors want to reprise roles and do things like that. And I thought that like, it was a smart move by Marvel and it got everybody really excited.
You should explain it a little bit. Paint us a picture.
So Marvel had a big panel. They were talking, and then all the lights went out, and Loki came on stage and appeared and like threatened everybody, and people were going crazy. And I just thought it was like a cool moment.
He murdered like 19 people.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that on the news? All the people that died.
I wish he would have. It would have been more realistic.
You wish he would have.
That'll teach him.
Teach who?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know. Yeah, you lost. You lost your mind.
Yeah.
Great. That's it for the Week in Geek. Always leave on a murder note. And let's turn it over to Pete LePage for a little bit of trivia.
Yeah, let's do it. Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand, trying to make some eye contact to make this awkward.
Very simple.
Yes, you first hand up guy. Come on up.
Nice. Very simple.
We're going to need your microphone for this.
Oh, mine? Great.
Yeah. Awesome. What is your name, sir?
It's Rolando.
Rolando, audience, Rolando.
Hello.
Hey, Pete, really, really quick, Pete.
Yep.
Just a quick announcement. Rolando just got hired by Marvel, so give it up for him.
Hey!
Rolando!
Yeah, how about that?
What do you know about this Vin Diesel project?
Were you
I'm probably going to be fired by tomorrow. Anyway.
You've been hired by Marvel to like handle Vin Diesel from now on, right?
Basically, I handle Vin Diesel. Make
okay,
sure he's
cool.
Okay.
So my impression...
Time's really fast. Watch out. Yeah.
Yeah, my impression was pretty good, though, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it was fantastic. Fantastic.
Okay, right. Great. Forget him. No good.
Right. Oh, let's get somebody else. Yeah.
Hi, Donnie.
All right, cool.
I know you listen to this, Donnie. Hi, Donnie.
Okay,
dude, are you
quit
done
plugging.
Giving
what
shout
are you doing?
This like, what's going on? All right.
The Rolando hour.
So how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get these all right, and then you win $25 free, which you don't even need because you work for Marvel now, you son of a bitch. You're living the dream. You're living the goddamn dream.
This is the trivia and berating section of the show.
Sorry. Some people.
I feel bad about myself, and I'm going to quit tomorrow.
Ah, don't do that, dude. Come on, you can't.
I'd rather you love me than working.
Wow, that's
the dream.
Pete doesn't love anyone, so that's
It's possible.
Except
possible
for thing. Whoever Wonder Woman shit. Is. All right, weird love trip.
Here we go. Question number one. In Batman number 22, we see the man who will become. Is it? Thank you, Boothman. Is it A, the Riddler, B, the Joker, or is it C, Weapon X?
Now, are we sure we didn't see B?
We are sure.
Are we sure?
We don't really know yet. Enigma, so.
Red mask.
We don't know.
All right, come on. Let's.
All right, now I am being difficult.
It's A. It's A. Thank you. Let's not overthink this. I wrote it, for Christ's sakes. All right.
Pete wrote it, so it's going to be hastily researched.
Thank you. In Walking Dead, you know, I only get a half an hour lunch break sometimes, all right? So just back up off me.
Same all right. Man.
In Walking Dead number 112, we see Rick try to take who? Is it A, the governor, B, Negan, or C, the Silver Samurai? Is it A, the governor, which wouldn't make sense in the comic book, or is it B, Negan?
Negan.
Yeah,
nice.
B.
Hey, keep in mind, it took Pete a half an hour to write these.
Nope, I also had to eat in that time. All right, in Hawkeye
I've
number 12.
I've seen
12.
You eat.
So at 18 minutes, basically. In Hawkeye number 12, we see some of Hawkeye's youth through the eyes of blank. Is it A, his brother, B, Pizza Dog, or C, a berserker barrage? Is it A, his brother, which is the correct answer, or it's B, Pizza Dog?
You're probably going to go with A.
A is correct. $25.
Nice.
And I'm excited for the Wolverine movie not sucking.
Great.
Let's hope it doesn't.
Great. Excellent work. As you all know, tomorrow, Wednesday, is New Comic Book Day.
Yep.
And we recommend you go down to Midtown Comics because they have been nice enough to sponsor this very show.
Yeah, and they also have a really nice establishment. That's one of the other reasons that we like to plug. Yeah.
Is it true that they don't carry any Marvel comics? Is that
That's not true.
Did they stop carrying them recently?
That is not true.
That is not true.
Why would you?
They actually have an excellent gentleman's lounge in that establishment.
Really,
I don't
a
know
gentleman's
if that's true
lounge.
Either. I think you guys.
You
were
really
at a strip
have some
club.
VIP.
I think
treatment.
You guys were at a strip club. Like
oh, they stopped carrying Marvel comics at my local
strip club.
That's,
yeah.
I've been really upset about
things
that.
Things are changed. They got to cut back on the frills. Pete, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I am looking forward to Army of Darkness and Hackslash number one.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm hoping Tim Seeley reveals what happened to Vlad and that he's not really dead.
This is an in-continuity crossover.
Yeah.
So we will see some more news from Ms. Cassie Hack.
Yeah, let's hope so.
I'm looking forward to the Rocketeer Spirit crossover called Pulp Friction.
Whoa.
Written by Mark Waid, drawn by Paul Smith. Very exciting. A surprise comic.
Oh, that sounds good.
I know. You got to look off the beaten path a little bit, guys.
Paul Smith, speaking of.
I know. Paul Smith, great artist from back in the day. Done a ton of stuff. He's not very prolific these days, so it's nice to see him back, especially drawing something so classic. I watched the movie The Rocketeer today. Man, what a great movie. I love it.
But that said, I want to change my answer from before to say The Spirit was the worst comic book adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great point. But
I mean,
have you ever seen any tie work like in that movie? It was just amazing.
A lot of dudes getting hit by toilets in that movie.
One too many, perhaps. So definitely pick that up. Brian, what are you looking forward to?
There's a new Peanuts reissue from Fantagraphics. Those things are always beautiful and wonderful. Yeah.
And they reissue the old stuff when they were saying the... They were saying some pretty weird shit back then.
Oh yeah, it was super blue back then. They were all doing speed and listening to jazz music. It's really great. A lot of racism, definitely pick it up.
And that's what you look forward to in a great comic. And Brian, plug some of the stuff that you want people to check out.
Oh, podcast is RAYL. Ellen Forney, who's a cartoonist, is on the next episode.
Nice.
So that's a thing you should listen to.
Great, Jeff. Oh, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to, there's a reissue, trade paperback reissue of something called Camelot 3000.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually, historically, was the one of, I think it might have been the first comic book ever on the nice paper called Baxter paper back in the day. You know, the first one. And so,
man, you know some shit that I would never even think of.
This is so Camelot 3000 is the Knights of the Round Table reincarnated in the year 3000. And it's drawn by Brian Bollins. You know, a full 12 issues drawn by Brian Bollins, who doesn't draw too many full comics, mostly draws covers. And it's a great story.
When did that come out originally?
That originally came
like
out...
Like decade. You don't need to get specific.
It came out probably like 85-ish, 84-ish.
I remember
it came out in 3000. It's in the title. Yeah. Just a second.
Right. Okay, it was very topical back then. Like those Mad issues you were talking about earlier.
Maybe, great. 80, maybe even earlier.
And plug some stuff of yours.
Let's see, to plug. Again, I'm helping produce these videos for the youtube.com/manga entertainment on Astro Boy, Tezuka's Astro Boy. What else? Smithmag.net/PCAR project. There's still a ton of free Harvey comics written by the late Harvey PCAR.
Very cool.
That I was editor on, drawn by Joseph Remnant, Sean Pryor, and Rick Parker. Tons of great comics to read free on there. Still there. Ripe for the reading.
Yeah, they are ripe. For the reading. Great. And Vivek, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I am most excited about the fifth Beatle coming out on Dark Horse on November 19th.
Is that coming out tomorrow, Vivek?
It's on November 19th.
Come on!
Pre-orders right now at Amazon.
What are you looking forward to that's coming out?
So you're excited
tomorrow.
To pre-order that tomorrow.
It is in pre-orders, yes.
Okay,
no,
nice.
But quite seriously, from that list you gave me... looks like there's a new Lock and Key coming out. That I'm.
Yeah, there's a collection. No, it's a collection coming out, which is
and
very
that's
cool.
That's what I said, Treasury Edition. Yeah. I love that. I mean, IDW also does great design work.
They do. The Treasuries are amazing. If you guys haven't read that, so that we talk about it almost constantly, but it is amazing. And the Treasury's got to be...
The Treasury, so it's probably going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
So that looks cool. The Peanuts thing that you mentioned looks great. There's a couple of Asterix omnibuses that look pretty cool. And I saw on the merchandise some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Leonardo swords. I'm not sure what that is.
Why are we here? Why are we not lining up outside of Mitch?
Let's finally do some damage to our loved ones and buy those swords.
A Leonardo sword? That sounds pretty awesome.
It does.
Wonder how it's different from a regular sword. You can't ever
well, there
cut anyone
four
with
them also. So
it
I'm not
stinks
sure what
of
that
pizza.
Means.
Yeah, it's got a real pizza handle.
Yeah.
And do you want to plug anything else besides?
I think I plugged. I've done enough plugging.
You plugged pretty hard.
No, quite seriously. Yeah. So just the website fifthbeatle.com. We just launched our book trailer, which we're very excited about. So if I can plug anything, please take 90 seconds to go take a look at it.
We've all got 90 seconds to spare.
That would be great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being guests on the show. A couple of you want to thank before we go. We want to thank, well, what do you have to say, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. We are here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Fontana's. Before we go, let's thank all of our guests, Brian, Jeff, and Vivek.
Yeah!
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Boothman.
Thank you, Boothman.
On the ones and twos. Let's thank Midtown Comics for sponsoring the show. Our interns. Thank Tours for Fun also for sponsoring the show. Friend us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And
but
you guys are...
Most of all, thank you to the lovely audience for coming out. We really appreciate
indeed,
it.
Indeed. Thank you. Please come down. It's a free show. We'll see you next time, guys. Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.